The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. When the people saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into boats and crossed to Capernaum to look for Jesus. When they found him on the other side, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you most solemnly, you are not looking for me because you have seen the signs, but because you had all the bread you wanted to eat. Do not work for food that cannot last, but work for food that endures to eternal life, the kind of food the Son of Man is offering you. For on him, the Father, God himself, has set his seal." They said to him, "What must we do if we are to do the works that God wants?" Jesus gave them this answer, "This is working for God. You must believe in the one he has sent." So they said, "What sign will you give us to show that we should believe in you? What work will you do? Our fathers had manna in the desert. As the scripture says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus answered, "I tell you most solemnly, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the bread from heaven, the true bread. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread always." Jesus answered, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament is religious hogwash, and those who believe in it are stupid. Those words were Jeremy Paxman in a Newsnight broadcast some time ago, comments that he made with an interview with Professor Richard Dawkins. And a viewer complained that Paxman had demonstrated anti-Christian bias. That complaint was rejected by the corporation, and the BBC Editorial Complaints Unit also rejected the complaint. They agreed that it did breach guidelines on harm and offence, but not on impartiality. I wonder if you dare say anything like that about the Quran. Paxman is actually dismissing a whole chunk of humanity, a huge, vast, you think of the whole number of Catholics, over a billion Catholics, all the Orthodox, all the Protestants, all the sects, of course the Jews, even of course Islam, recognizes the Old Testament. They all regard it with great reverence, religious hogwash, and those who believe in it, stupid. St. Jerome, great biblical scholar, spent his last days in Bethlehem, right near where the Word was made flesh to dwell among us, in the 4th century, said that ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Christ, because the whole scriptures, the Old and the New Testaments, reveal that Christ to us. And you can't understand Christ, that's what we've always believed, unless you understand the Old Testament preparing the way for Christ. And so this week, Jesus moves on when we've got this Gospel from John, another 3 more weeks to go, leading us to reflect, I want you to think today, on the liturgy of the word of nourishment for faith. Because Jesus stressed that the work which God asks of us is to believe in the one he has sent, the one that St. John revealed as the Word made flesh who dwelt among us. And the primary source of what we believe is, of course, sacred scripture. Indeed, that's why, you know, for Catholics, if you took everything out of the Mass that isn't in the scriptures, you'd have very little left. Very little left. If you look at the entrance antiphon, the name of the Father, Lord be with you, confessing our sins, the Gloria, needn't go on. So much of the scriptures there. If you took everything out of the scriptures away from the Mass, we had virtually nothing left. Because the Mass is actually soaked in the scriptures. So when Jesus today speaks of himself as the bread of life, he's initially referring to himself as God's revealing word. That's what he says, work for the bread that really matters. And that is Jesus himself. Because Jesus is the one who is able to satisfy the deepest human longings of life and the insatiable thirst of the Spirit. And it's only later, in 2 or 3 weeks' time, when we shall get to that same chapter, John, moving on, when the theme is his presence in the bread of the Eucharist. So he feeds our faith with the bread of his word, and then he nourishes our souls with the bread of his own flesh and blood. So the two tables, the table of the sacrament, the table of the word. And that's why we want to, when we're sorting all this lot out, is to make this even more, not this particular one, but something that is more worthy of the celebration of the word as the celebration of the sacrament. But all Christian liturgy goes back to the Last Supper, and in this, Jesus said, do this in memory of me. And our memory of him, of Jesus, is rekindled and activated as we listen to the word. Because even when the priest said in that great consecration prayer, we're taking the words of Jesus, it's the scriptures. So it takes us back to that. And St. Justin the Martyr has left us a written account of what Sunday was like in about the year 150. And he says, on that day called after the sun, he says, all who were in the towns and in the countryside gathered together for a community celebration. The memoirs of the apostles and the writings of the prophets are read as long as time permits. And then the president of the assembly addresses the people, exhorting them to practice those beautiful teachings in their lives. And that's what the homily should be, linking the memoirs of the apostles, which of course is the rest of the New Testament, the prophets, the Old Testament, linking that life to today's life. So that we can enable to read the book of everyday life in the revealed book of the Holy Scriptures, because that's the life of God. And that's why ministers that are called to readers, and it's a great, like a minister of the Eucharist, ministry of reader is important, because it's your opportunity to proclaim the word of God to the listeners, to the hearers. And so if readers can't be heard, or read in a disinterested manner or a tone, or if the microphone isn't working properly, then it won't work. We need to listen and drink in the scriptures. And it's a bit too much to expect the word to nourish your faith if it's never encountered apart from in distracting or difficult conditions. And that's why the most helpfulness of the newsletter is, on the back, you've got the readings. And you can hear them when you hear, and you can take them away, and you can read them and reflect on them maybe during the week. And of course, then the front cover also has some helpful comments on the same readings. And what it's saying is, this is actually a very important part of what we do, listening to the word of God. The Old Testament, we do find very difficult. There's bits of it, and I often try to unpack it like I did last week with Jeremiah, but there's bits of it. And you think of Syria at the moment. How often in the scriptures we get Assyria. Assyria was a larger sort of part of that part of the world than Syria is today. But it took in Babylonia, Mesopotamia, Iraq, all that part was Assyria. But you think of what is going on there. And it's all there in the scriptures. But you see, what's in the scriptures is words of peace and love one another and working together. And they're doing the opposite. There's no sign of a love for the people, but just hatred. That is what happens. And it's not religion that causes it. It's humanity. So the liturgy of the word, the story of God's marvelous deeds, are all there. And they're retold for us week by week. In which time memory is activated, faith is nourished with the bread of God's word. For Jesus is that word. Thanks be to God.